meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The word of God to which we direct our attention this morning is our gospel reading from John chapter 17. You may be seated. Today's gospel reading does give us an opportunity to take just a short pause between Jesus' ascension into heaven, which we celebrated on Thursday evening, and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which we will celebrate next Sunday morning. Chronologically, though, the reading from John doesn't fall within that 10-day window. It's actually a prayer that's spoken by Jesus on the night when he was betrayed. And it does, though, convey the sentiment of what he still desires, even as he sits on his heavenly throne. This is what Jesus prays: "Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, is asking his Father that we might be kept in his name, that name that was placed on us in our baptisms, the name that we put on our signs outside of our church to proclaim to the world who it is that we are. The name of Christ himself rests on all of us as his followers. Christian is what we're called. And Jesus prays to his Father that we would be kept in that name. It's not just a set of letters put into a word that then is placed on God's people. It has meaning, because names have meaning. And Jesus' great desire, even as he's on his way to the cross, is that his people would be kept in his name. And even 2,000 years later, today, as we sit here, we retain that name, Christian. We bear his name and therefore have the privilege to be counted as his. It's Mother's Day, as you know, right? I think you do. I see a lot of children who have brought their mothers to church this morning, mothers who have brought their children to church this morning. What a wonderful thing that is. Happy Mother's Day to all of you who have the privilege of bearing that name of Mother. And what a wonderful name that is, isn't it? Mother, Mom. That first time that your child looks up at you and says, "Mommy," I'm sure it brings joy to your heart. Because names have meaning, right? And when other people use those names for us, it conveys that meaning to us as well. And it's not just moms either. The name that each of us has been given had meaning to our parents who conveyed it on us, who gave it to us. Last names used to hold a little greater meaning than maybe they do today, given that they would generally indicate what sort of trade a person was involved in. Now it's become traditional for a woman to change her last name to indicate the connectedness that she has with her husband and the new unity of family that they're forging together. Names mean something. They're important, they're powerful, and the name of Christ that we bear as Christians is no different. Actually, it's even more important and more powerful. It means something. It means that we are his, kept under his care. As he says in his prayer, "While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Not one of them was lost who allowed his name to be placed on them and didn't reject that name. It's the same with you. As you take on the name of Christ, as you call yourself Christian, unless you reject the faith that he's instilled in you, unless you reject that name that he's placed on you, you will continue to be his, kept under his care. really is a sad reality. But those who reject his name in unbelief are on the road to destruction. That's what Jesus says. That's what he prays that would not happen to his people. And more in our country, don't we hear about these nuns? The ones, not those nuns, not the ones with the habits, the other nuns, N-O-N-E-S, which don't claim any sort of name, much less Christian. It's sad. And we can mourn that decline, but instead of wallowing in the truth that many are falling away, there's something else we can do. We can follow our Lord's direction and pray that those who once carried his name and have now rejected it, that they would be brought back into the fold. And in addition to prayer, there's plenty of other things that we can do as well. We can take all of those opportunities that are placed before us to live out that name that we hold on to live out that name of Christian. The 4th century church father Gregory of Nyssa once said, "If we are not to lie when we call ourselves Christians, we must bear witness to it by our way of living." And when he says by our way of living, he's not talking about living a perfect life. We know that we can't do that. Only Jesus ever has. He's talking about being reflections of Christ, bearers, not just of his name, but also of his image, and most particularly of the message that he proclaims. And that message is that it's only as we trust in the all-availing sacrifice that he has made for us on the cross that we can be saved. Calling yourself a Christian means unashamedly carrying that message out into the world, to one another, to your family, to your neighbors, to the whole world. Jesus goes on to say, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world." So with that name placed on you, you are given the task of carrying this message to the world, his word out into the world. But Jesus very clearly says the world is going to hate you. Bearing the name of Christ certainly does not assure you of an easy life. I hope nobody ever promised you that. Time and time again, Jesus tells us that our lives, which are lived with his name placed upon us, are not going to be a walk in the park. So why do it? Why should we be proud to carry his name in this world that is certain to hate us? Quite simply, we do it because we are not of this world, as he is not of this world. In the end, on that last day, what we face in rejection from this world will pale in comparison to the glory that he has prepared for those who do not reject the name and the relationship that he has given to us. Just hearing that this prayer is the one that Jesus would speak to his Father in the hours right before his suffering and death, just knowing the timing of this prayer should help to sustain us in all of the troubles that this world brings to us. It should lay the foundation for us of all the joys that are to come. We have received the full measure of this joy in the assurance that Jesus has succeeded in his mission for us and for all people. We can depend on Jesus' word, which is the word of his Father, that there will be one day, a time where we are separated from this unbelieving world, and that he desires for us, even in whatever time we have here, that we would be kept from the destruction that's caused by the evil one. He says it right here in his prayer. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus fervently desires that his people, his bride, the church, would remain in the truth. Because the truth is the weapon that we have to battle the evil one. That word sanctify, when Jesus prays, sanctify them in the truth. That word sanctify carries with it the meaning that we are set apart. And we're set apart for a purpose, and that purpose is for carrying out the work that Jesus himself has started. We are set apart in God's truth, which is his word. The source of holiness, of power, of saving faith is God's word. And as we face a world that increasingly denies the truth of God's word, it becomes harder and harder for us to battle on these grounds. And yet the only way to win this battle is to have truth on your side. Jesus is the word, Jesus is the truth, and he is on your side. If you have him, if you bear his name, if you don't reject what he has given to you, he is on your side. And with the truth on your side, you cannot lose. He sends us then, his people, bearing his name, out into the world to proclaim this truth. And when those who bear his name, you and me, all Christians throughout the entire world, proclaim that truth, we're telling the world that the only way that there is to overcome this world is through faith in the one who has already done the work on our behalf. That's our apostolic mission. An apostle is one who is sent. But it's not just those 12 who were sent after Jesus' resurrection and his ascension, it's you too. Each and every one of you, myself included, are sent. We are his apostles as well. Jesus says to his Father, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. He speaks those words directly to his disciples, the apostles, but he speaks them to us as well. Because as it happened with the disciples is how it works with each of us as well. We are sent into a hostile world with the message of salvation of Jesus Christ. Salvation in him alone. Bearing his name and spreading his message. And that name that we bear means something. It means everything. Bearing the name of Christ means that we are eternally connected to him and that he is on our side every step of the way. What a privilege it is to bear his name. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.